You're listening to Penguin Radio Live here at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Sportster, and you're listening to MeESPN. On MeESPN, I take a dive into the world of sports and what has happened over the past week. This is episode 9, meaning next week is the final episode of MeESPN for the year. This week, I'll be talking about the MLB season, the past week of the NHL season, and then I have an interview to end off my show this week. So, the MLB. So, the players of the week, when I saw them, I was kind of surprised just because I didn't really hear much about these two players, didn't really get many notifications about the two of them, didn't really see them on the MLB's like Instagram, like Twitter. They're like all on their like socials, so I was kind of shocked when I saw the two players of the week. One of them I saw some stuff, but not a lot. But after looking at their numbers, it makes sense why they got players of the week. But I was intrigued by the fact that these two were named players of the week when I hadn't really seen much about them, heard much about them. So I was kind of confused by that part. So, the NL Player of the Week is outfielder Seiya Suzuki of the Chicago Cubs. This week, he went 7-for-17, batting .412 with 3 home runs, 2 doubles, 5 RBIs, 5 walks, and then a 1.604 OPS. So, again, the numbers, it makes sense. Suzuki was the one I saw. I saw one of his home runs. They posted it on the... then it'll be posted it to their Instagram. So, I saw that on Instagram. He was the one of the prize like free agents, considering he came from Japan. So he's kind of living up to the hype. He's definitely having a good start to the season. The AL Player of the Week is third baseman Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Guardians. He went 11-for-23, batting .478 with 2 home runs, 11 RBIs, and a 1.432 OPS. This one I was kind of confused about. The Giants played the Guardians this week, so because of that, I follow the Giants. I kind of saw the Guardians this week, or watched the Guardians this week. The Guardians didn't really do much this week. Then again, the Giants pitching rotation has been on point this to start the season. So, I mean, they contained them to like 2 runs or fewer all the game. The 3 games they played against them. I will say the MLB definitely has like a knack for third baseman. There's been 4 players of the week announced so far, 2 from last week and then 2 from this week. Out of the 4 players of the week that have like been for this season, 3 of them have been third baseman. I don't know. I kind of find that like odd that there's 9 positions and 3 out of 4 have been the same position. And I just kind of found that funny in a way. Speaking of the Giants are currently 7-2 and sitting in second in the NL West, a half a game behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. But it's still early in the season. Anything can happen. There's 162 games to be that are played in the season. I mean, there's been 9 played for them, so there's still many to go. They won both series they played last week. They had a perfect week, going 5-0. They won the series against the San Diego Padres 2-1, and then they swept the series versus the Cleveland Guardians 3-0. They beat the Padres on Tuesday 13-2, and then they also beat the Padres on Wednesday 2-1, and then they swept Cleveland, going 4-1 in Game 1 on Friday, 4-2. During game 2 on Saturday, and then 8-1 on Sunday for the final game of the series. They win their first homestand, going 4-2, and they're currently on their first East Coast trip of the season. They are away until the 26th when they return home and they're playing the Oakland A's. Alyssa Natkin becomes the first female on-field coach in the MLB regular season game when Natkin coached first base for the Giants when their first base coach was ejected during Tuesday's game versus the Padres. When that happened, I watched the game. When that happened, it was Crook and Kipe were calling in. They're like, wait, Nacken's at first. And there was confusion as to what had happened to the first base coach. And then they played like a clip and it looked like he was getting ejected. And then he ended up actually getting ejected. So really cool for Nacken. The helmet she wore on field is being sent to Cooperstown. So that will be featured in the Hall of Fame and will be able to be visited for anyone who goes and checks out Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown. They optioned Elliot Ramos to AAA Sacramento, which makes sense. He got called up because one of our pitchers went on paternity. Then we had another pitcher go on paternity, and then when one of them returned, we optioned him back. I mean, it makes sense. I think I saw somewhere that it's like we're facing a lot of, I think it was lefties in at a certain point in the season. So then they were kind of hinting at expect a return from Ramos around that time. So, I mean, he showed a good promise. So I'm very excited as a Giants fan for the future of the team. This week, yesterday's game versus the New York Mets got postponed due to rain. This week, they have two series. They play the New York Mets. They have a doubleheader today. The first game's at 12:10, and then they have another game afterwards. Cobb is pitching game one, and then Logan Webb is pitching game two. And then they also play the Mets Wednesday and Thursday, so it's a four-game series. And then they play the Nationals Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So they have two series this week. Reds pitcher Hunter Green had the most triple-digit readings by a pitcher in a game with 3,900 miles-per-hour fastballs during the Reds' 5-2 loss to the Los Angeles Dodgers on Saturday, April 16th. That's crazy. I heard about Green during one of the Giants' spring training games when he pitched and he was hitting like the hundreds. There was one pitch in particular he had that I think it was like a curveball. It was a moving pitch, but it was it was going 100 miles per hour. That is like just watching that pitch. It's like, how are batters supposed to hit that? And he ended up striking out the batter in this pit during the clip that I saw of it. But it was like the pitch curved in towards that batter, and it was like, I'm watching it. I'm like, how is that batter supposed to hit that ball? Two pitchers retired yesterday. Jake Arrieta, who I most notably know him as a former Cub. He won the World Series of the Cubs in 2016. That's where I know him from. He retired, and then also reliever Tony Watson retired. I most notably know him as a Giant. He was a part of the team for a bunch of years. And then he left last year, but we traded for him during our playoff push. So he was on the team after the trade deadline last year. I guess he's most notably known for being a Pirate, but in my mind, I most know him for being a Giant. Atlanta Braves outfielder Ronald Acuna Jr. is set for an early May return from his ACL injury that he acquired end of June of last season. Dodgers first baseman Freddie Freeman, I don't like saying that, played the Atlanta Braves for the first time in his career in the Dodgers 7-4 win last night. In Freeman's first at-bat versus the Braves, he hit his first home run of the season. He spent 11 years with the Braves. The Braves drafted him in 2007, so it was Freeman's first time playing against the team that basically gave him a chance in the MLB. There are 17 games today, two doubleheaders. There was three games yesterday that got postponed due to weather all on the East Coast. So, yeah. So that has been my MLB segment. After the break, I will be talking about what has happened over the past week in the NHL. As the playoffs are approaching in that, so lots of teams making the postseason and that other things within news for that. So after the break, I will be talking about hockey. You're listening to Ping Radio Live here at Dominican University of California. I'm DJ Sportster, and this is me, ESPN. Before the break, I was talking about the past week in the MLB season. Now I will be talking about the past week in the NHL season, which I definitely keep up with. I will say over this past week, I had watched like 7 hockey games. 6 of them I did in one night, practically all at the same time, which I typically do on Tuesdays. I will be doing that again tonight, probably not as many games, but definitely will be watching 3 games tonight. So the 3 stars of the week for this past week, right winger Vladimir Tarasenko of the St. Louis Blues is the first star of the week. He had 7 goals, 4 assists, and 11 points in 4 games. He scored twice, including the second straight game-winning goal in the 4-2 win over the Boston Bruins on Tuesday, April 12th. And then he had a hat trick and 2 assists for 5 points total in his 3rd straight game-winning goal, his 5th career hat trick in the 6-2 win over the Buffalo Sabres on Tuesday, April 14th. He had a goal in the 6-5 OT win versus the Minnesota Wild on Saturday, April 16th. And then he had a goal, 2 assists, and 3 points in the 8-3 win over the Nashville Predators on Sunday, April 17th. The second star of the week goes to left wing Kevin Fiala of the Minnesota Wild. He had 5 goals, 5 assists, and 10 points in 4 games. He scored twice, including his 5th game-winning goal of the season in the 5-1 win over the Edmonton Oilers on Tuesday, April 12th. He had 2 goals, 1 assist, and 3 points, factoring in all the goals in the 3-2 overtime win versus the Dallas Stars on Thursday, April 14th. And then he had an assist in the 6-5 OT loss to the St. Louis Blues on Saturday, April 16th. And then he had a goal, 3 assists, and 4 points in the 5-4 overtime win versus the San Jose Sharks on Sunday, April 17th. I honestly thought Fiala had the game-winning goal in that game versus the Sharks. Turns out he had the primary assist on it, and another Wild player had the goal. I watched that game. I thought it was Fiala. So I was shocked when I was writing this. And then the third star of the week goes to goalie Mike Smith of the Edmonton Oilers. He had 2 shutouts this week. He had a shutout in both games he played this week. So, yeah, 2 shutouts, stopping all 69 shots he faced. He stopped all 30 shots in the 4-0 win over the Nashville Predators on Tuesday, April 14th. And then he stopped all 39 shots faced in the 4-0 win versus the Vegas Golden Knights on Saturday, April 16th. So now on to the Sharks. It's a very painful time to be a Sharks fan, I will say. This week, they went 0-1-3, collecting 3 points, which is more points than they collected in the past couple weeks. They lost 1-0 in overtime to the Nashville Predators last Tuesday, and then they lost 5-4 in a shootout to the Chicago Blackhawks on Thursday. That game was painful because the Sharks should have won that game. And then they lost 2-1 to the Dallas Stars, and then on Sunday, they lost 5-4 in overtime to the Minnesota Wild. And at one point, they were winning in the third period, and they gave it up. The painful part about being a Sharks fan during this time is we're on a 10-game losing streak. They have not won in April. The last win they had was the 4-1 win versus the Anaheim Ducks on March 26th. And during this span of 10 games, there have been games that the Sharks have been leading, especially in the third period, and then they can't finish the game out and somehow let the other team score and tie the game or score 2 goals to then take over the lead and or let them tie it to go into overtime to only to lose in overtime. During Sunday's game, the Sharks were out defenseman Erik Karlsson, defenseman Radim Šimek, and then forward Alexander Barabanov. So there's injuries to play with the Sharks, that's for sure. Prospect watch that I kind of mentioned last week. Thomas Bortolo, he signed an amateur tryout agreement on Tuesday, April 12th, and then he made his Barracuda debut on the next day on Wednesday. So it was like right after my show, it was announced that he signed, and I was like, why do I get like all these notifications about things that happen at 11, like right after my show ends? This was one of them. During his San Jose Barracuda debut, he had 3 assists, so he factored in all 3 goals in the Barracuda's 6-3 loss to the Bakersfield Condors, which is the Oilers AHL team. And then he signed his entry-level contract on April 16th, and let's just say I was very excited about that. He made his debut on Sunday during the 5-4 OT loss to the Wild. He had an assist on that first goal, and then there was another goal out of the Sharks' 4 goals. He didn't get an assist for it, but he definitely set up the play that led to the goal. I think he was like 1 assist. He had the pass to the secondary assist, to the person who got the secondary assist, so he was like 1 off from getting, having at least 2 points during his debut. But he definitely showed promise and definitely made Sharks fans excited for the future of the franchise. I, for one, am excited to see what is to come from him next season and then in the remaining 7 games of the season the Sharks have. 2 other prospects the Sharks have, Ozzie Whitezlat and Daniel Gushkin. Gushkin's in the OHL and Whitezlat's in the WHL. Both of their seasons have ended, so they will most likely end up playing with the Barracuda for their, I think, last 3 games of the season, which, I mean, it's good, get them some experience, kind of get the Sharks kind of looking at them, seeing where they're standing and potential for next season. Next season should be exciting with Bortolo being on the team, possibly William Eklund. I'm excited for that. The Sharks have 4 games this week. They play tonight versus the Blue Jackets. They play Thursday against the St. Louis Blues, Saturday versus the Chicago Blackhawks, and then Sunday versus the Vegas Golden Knights. College signing watch. As I was saying, right after my show ended, Thomas Bortolo signed an amateur tryout agreement. Not only did Bortolo sign it, but also former teammate Brandon Breeson, who is with the Henderson Silver Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights AHL team. They both signed ATOs right after my show. Both made their AHL debut on the last Wednesday. Breeson had a goal in the first game. He's had a goal in all 3 games he's played for the Silver Knights. And I find funny that it's like each game he's played, he's had 1 more point. So his first game, he had a point. Second game, he had 2 points. Third game, 3 points. I find that funny. In Bortolo's first game, he had 3 assists. I was very excited. I couldn't watch the game, but I was listening to it on like the Sharks radio, and I was like freaking out, let's just say. And then also another player I was saying to watch out for was Johnny Beecher, who is a prospect of the Boston Bruins. He signed his ATO with the Providence Bruins on either Thursday or Friday, I don't remember the day, but he made his AHL debut on Saturday. I saw somewhere that Beecher is most likely working towards his entry-level contract with the Bruins, because the Bruins right now are trying to figure out their playoff team, and I find it interesting that playoff games don't go towards your entry-level contract. So if they wanted to, they can have him sign his entry-level contract now and then have him be on the playoff like roster and have it not go towards his rookie year, and his ECL. So yeah, and then Bortolo signed his ECL, like I was mentioning. So for the first time since 2010, the NHL has had 3 players who have scored 50-plus goals. The 3 50-plus goal scorers are Austin Matthews of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Leon Draisaitl of the Edmonton Oilers, and Chris Kreider of the New York Rangers. I feel like it's important to note that Alexander Ovechkin is 2 goals away from hitting the 50-goal mark. So there could potentially be 4 50-plus goal player players by the time this season ends. I mean, there's not that many games left. The season ends in 10 days on April 29th. The NHL announces that the Boston Bruins will host the 2023 Winter Classic on January 2nd at Fenway Park versus the Pittsburgh Penguins. The New York Islanders legend Mike Bossy passed away at 65. The Islanders added a patch with 22 honoring him to their jersey. Montreal Canadiens goalie Carey Price made his season debut on Friday, April 15th, in the 3-0 loss to the New York Islanders. He has not played an NHL game since Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals, where the Tampa Bay Lightning won the Stanley Cup. He's been out all season focusing on his mental health, I guess because he hadn't been in a good mental state, so he really wanted to focus on his mental health, kind of set a good example for his kids. And he's finally returned to the NHL. So, I wish nothing but the best to Carey Price. He's a likable goalie. He's a likable player, likable person. So I wish him the best. The Stanley Cup playoffs begin on May 2nd. 7 teams clinched over this past week, joining the 5 teams who already secured a playoff spot. The teams that have clinched this week are the Pittsburgh Penguins, Tampa Bay Lightning, Boston Bruins, St. Louis Blues, Minnesota Wild, Calgary Flames, and then the Washington Capitals. So they joined the 5 teams that already had made the playoffs. And then the Colorado Avalanche clinched the Central Division. They're the only team to have... they're the first team to clinch a division. Also, it's... I guess it's important to note that all the teams in the Eastern Conference is set. All the teams in the East have... The 8 playoff spots in the East are filled. There's still 5 spots that have yet to be clinched in the Western Conference. The 2 wild card spots and then the last 2 spots in the Pacific. But there's been, like, watch on that because currently both teams, well, I'll talk about the Eastern Conference standings before talking to the Western. The Western kind of is somewhat complicated. Currently the Carolina Hurricanes sit at the top of the Metro Division of 106 points. New York Rangers are not that far behind of 104 points, and then the Pittsburgh Penguins have 97 points and are fighting to hold on to that third spot in the Metro. The Washington Capitals are 1 point behind the Pittsburgh Penguins of 96 points and holding on to that second wild card spot. The Florida Panthers are first in the Atlantic with 114 points, followed by the Toronto Maple Leafs of 106 points, and then the Tampa Bay Lightning of 100 points, and then the Boston Bruins have that first wild card spot with 97 points. Onto the Western Conference, where things kind of get a little more interesting. So, the Colorado Avalanche clinched the Central Division. Okay, yeah, we know that. They have 116 points. They're leading the league in points. They're honestly, the Florida Panthers are not that far behind the Avalanche in points. So the other 2 teams that have clinched in the Central are the St. Louis Blues to have 102 points and then the Minnesota Wild to have 101 points. The Blues and Wild keep flipping spots, though. And then right now, there's 2 teams in the Central, which is what I predicted to happen at the beginning of the season, that are currently 2 teams in the Central have the 2 wild card spots. I predicted that to happen. The Pacific is definitely an interesting division. Currently, both wild card teams have 91 points. And so that's the Nashville Predators and then the Dallas Stars. Those are the 2 teams I want to get the wild card. In the Pacific, the only team that has clinched a playoff spot is the Calgary Flames, that have 103 points. In second in the Pacific is the Edmonton Oilers, who have 94 points. And then the Los Angeles Kings are kind of had, like, a decrease in their play. They have 90 points. They're sitting in third for that the last Pacific spot. Hopefully, they can hold on because the Vegas Golden Knights are not that far behind of 87 points. Although they lost yesterday to the New Jersey Devils, and losing to the New Jersey Devils definitely is hurting their playoff chances. And not me, as someone who follows the Devils as like my like third, fourth team, I was very pleased by that win. So I'm very happy about that. And even then, the Vancouver Canucks are not even that far off. They have 86 points, only 1 point behind the Vegas Golden Knights. So the Pacific race, and then those wild card, and then those two wild card spots are very. It's gonna be a very close race. The games today, we have the Philadelphia Flyers versus the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Minnesota Wild versus the Montreal Canadiens, the Detroit Red Wings versus Tampa Bay Lightning at 4. The first two games are also at 4. The Winnipeg Jets versus the New York Rangers at 4. The Florida Panthers versus the New York Islanders at 4:30. I will be watching that game. The Calgary Flames versus the Nashville Predators at 5. The Boston Bruins versus the St. Louis Blues at 5, only on ESPN Plus and Hulu. The Ottawa Senators versus the Vancouver Canucks at 7. The Los Angeles Kings versus the Anaheim Ducks at 7. I'll be watching that game, rooting for the Ducks. And then the Columbus Blue Jackets versus the San Jose Sharks at 7:30. I will be watching that game as well. It's also going to be time for me to start watching out for prospects, because the 2022 IIHF U18 tournament begins on Saturday. So that tournament's where I really scout out the prospects and determine who I want the Sharks to draft, and then I end up getting mad when the Sharks don't end up drafting that person. But, I mean, who knows? I mean, they drafted Thomas Bortolo, and I was freaking out when that happened because I couldn't believe that had happened. But after the break, I'll have an interview. I have my interview, and then that will be it for my show. But you're listening to Pinger Radio Live here at Dominican University of California. And I'll be back after the break. You're listening to Pinger Radio Live here at Dominican University of California. I'm here with the face of Pinger Radio, Stuart Horn.
The face?
I mean, you're the one who runs the station and calls all the games.
The face of Penguin Radio. I like that. No one's ever said that before, but all right. It's usually the voice of, but I like the face of. Maybe we're moving into such a high-tech world that radio will become all visual, not just audible.
Maybe. I mean, we do cover Stretch Network when we...
That's true. And, you know, I was thinking for the next couple of semesters... that we would start to live stream the radio shows, you know, like Joe Rogan style, where he's doing the radio show, or Dan Patrick does the same thing. A lot of guys do the same thing, where they, like, your show would be on DJ Sportster. By the way, thanks for having me in. And then we would also live stream it on YouTube. So if people wanted to, well, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be cool. Some students did it a couple semesters ago. For two semesters, they did that. And it worked really well. Maybe we'll do that next time. So next time, next semester, when Sportster's on, you might be able to live stream her. That'd be cool. She's wearing her Giants jersey right now, folks. She is into it.
I mean, I wear this jersey every week.
I know you do. That's great. This is great. Thank you for having me on your show. I've never been on ESPN, even though I've wanted to, and it wasn't until I invited myself that I finally get an invitation, so this is cool.
Yeah, that's true. You did invite yourself.
I did.
I was all for it. I was like, okay, sure, let's do it.
Yeah, good. Well, thank you. I'm glad to hear that, at least.
So... Which is, it's funny considering when I, during like the quick invoice that we had, it kind of ties into what I had written. But it's like I had a hard time figuring out the direction I wanted to go in with the interview.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you made a comment when you invited yourself saying how you probably know as much as I do. You said that.
Well, about what? I don't know about.
Sports.
You misheard it. I'm sorry, folks. If I were to say something as ridiculous as that, it was clearly a mistake, because you're the expert here. When it comes to Dominican sports, maybe. But professional sports, no way. I just listened I was listening to you do the whole thing on the NHL over the last 30 minutes, and I could not believe your breadth of knowledge of hockey. It was mind-blowing, but also really cool as your radio colleague to know that you're so well-versed in something. You are me ESPN with good reason, and that's because you know all about it.
I was planning on taking it, talking about professional sports, but during the invoice, you said that you don't pay attention until after Dominican sports are done for the season.
All right, so here's the thing. Here's my disclaimer. I am all about MLB, and as you know, I've worked with minor league baseball clubs as the radio and television guy, and I love all that. Here's the problem. My job gets so intense over the months of especially March and April, that this is the most seriously busy time of year for professors. And it's all day, every day. And so I don't get a chance to pay attention to the Giants, usually in a meaningful way, until about a third of the season is over. Almost a third of the season will have passed before. And it's been this way for 18 years. And then I get into it, and then then you can't pull me away from it. But right now, I'm not paying attention to any of it. I know that you're a huge Giants fan. You mentioned it a couple of times in your first segment. And plus, I work with you all the time, so I know how much you love the Giants. And I was thinking, about some of my favorite Giants moments, going back to 2001 when the great Sean Estes. Now, is that a name you recognize?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Sean Estes, great left-hander, hit a grand slam, number 55, by the way, hit a grand slam against Houston, and I just forever will remember. When is the last time you saw a pitcher hit a home run, much less a grand slam? Yeah, anyway, it's just one of those things I remember. You know, you remember stuff like when you were a kid going out at Candlestick Park, and I would go, and I remember my dad would take me, and Willie McCovey, Willie Mays, and Orlando Cepeda and Chris Spire, Ron Barr, a lot of these guys, this is going way back, right? But that was what I grew up with. The players that molded you to be a Giants fan when you were a kid. Those are the guys that I had pictures of on my wall and would write and ask them. Because back then, you could write and ask for an autograph. And sometimes professional athletes would do you the service of sending you their autograph. So one I could think of was Catfish Hunter. I don't know if you remember him. Great. Yeah, he's from the A's.
I don't follow the A's.
Well, I didn't either, except being a little kid. I mean, I was a little kid. But he was on those World Championship teams of 74, 75. And he sent me his autograph back. You know, and when you're, let's see, so I would have been 6 or 7 years old, something like that, writing a letter. Can I have your autograph? All kinds of misspellings. And, you know, it was in my handwriting. It's not like I had my folks do it. And I remember I wrote to Archie Manning, Peyton Manning's dad, who was a left-handed. And I don't know how many lefties there were in the quarterback position back then. I know it's become kind of commonplace because it's such an advantage, really, to have a left-handed quarterback because the defense doesn't practice for a lefty, right? They don't. So anyway, and Archie Manning, and I sent him a card, a football card. And he signed it and sent it back to me. I just forever loved the guy for it, you know? It was like such a cool thing to do. I don't remember if I included a stamp or not. I just remember when I got it, I went crazy, right? Like he actually did this. And, a couple other guys along the way did that. But, it's those memories that kind of shape you into being a fan in the first place. Even though that was football, and I love NFL. I had pictures of guys on the Giants on my walls, those guys that I mentioned. Chris Spire was a shortstop, and he was something else. You know, I mean, if you make if you're a starting shortstop in Major League Baseball, you're probably pretty great, right? And there's no shortstops that aren't awesome. But he was the one I remember the earliest in my life. But I hate to say it, that I'm not paying attention to the Giants yet. For me, May 15th is about the time baseball season starts every year, even though I'm thinking about it in March and wishing that I could be more involved. I'm just not. I can watch a game. However, one of the things that I can do is, while I'm grading papers on Sunday, is watch golf, which I love to watch because I can listen. I don't have to pay close attention to it unless there's a great shot and then they'll replay it 8 times. That I listen to. And I'm kind of a golf fanatic. You know, not kind of. I am. I love it. And I don't know. You and I have never talked much golf. We've talked a lot of other stuff.
We've talked a lot of baseball.
We've talked a ton of baseball. And, you know, you've called, what do we calculate? Like 90 live sports broadcasts or something so far?
I feel like that's an exaggeration.
Is it?
I feel like it is.
Well, we did 29 volleyball games.
But I didn't work all of them.
We did 60 basketball games. You didn't work them all. And then I think 20 softball games. So, I mean, you've been a part of a lot of broadcasts, let's put it that way. So, yeah, you and I have had a chance in between innings or whatever at halftime of all these games. You and I sit there and talk about sports, which is really cool to have somebody at Penguin Radio who knows so much about sports. And going back to earlier when you fibbed to the audience and said that I ever said something like, I know more about sports than you. No, I don't.
You said that to me. You said that to me as we were setting up for the CAB event.
Like, I would just throw that out there. For one thing, we both know that's not true.
I said I don't believe that. And you said, no, I probably know it. So I'm like, I don't believe you.
No. I don't know. I don't remember the conversation, but there's no way I would ever. I don't know. If I did, I misspoke. Because I would never challenge you when it comes to sports knowledge. No way. You're DJ Sportster. There's a reason that's your name. And then when it comes to NHL, I don't know anybody who knows more than you.
I know. Every time I mention it, I get kind of questioned. But it's like, I don't know.
Well, when was the last time? I mean, you talk to somebody who knows a ton about the NHL. And in the NHL... are there any women broadcasters?
Very few.
Any?
There's some, but very few.
Yeah, because in the NFL, there's lots.
Yeah.
And in collegiate football, there are a lot. I heard your thing about the Giants' first base coach. So after their regular guy was ejected, and then now her helmet's at Cooperstown. How cool is that?
Yeah.
That's really cool. So there are women in MLB. Still not enough, but it's happening. I don't remember hearing of a single woman involved with the NHL, but there's got to be.
There are some. I know the Devils have, because besides the Sharks, I follow some other teams. The Devils are one of the teams I follow. They have a female, either play-by-play or analysts that I hear when I watch the Devils games.
Do the Sharks have any women involved?
They did for a short period of time, but she ended up going over to the Chicago Blackhawks because she got a job within the front office.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, good. Because, as you know, I'm a huge proponent. I think it's been a male-dominated industry for as long as it's been around. And it's time, right? It's time that broadcasting caught up with the rest of the world. Get more women involved for lots of reasons. Yeah.
I definitely think the MLB is doing a good job of that. Last season, they had a complete all-female broadcast from every single component was run by a woman.
That's good. That's good. You're leading the way here.
Yeah.
You know, we've had women involved. I think I go back to 2005. We had the great DJ Lefty. And she, like you, was very knowledgeable about Major League Baseball, especially. That was her thing. And she, like you, did Media Row stuff with me for a year or two, every game, right? But along the way. But now you've kind of settled in and established yourself as not only as part of the team, but I think that when people come to the games and they see that you're doing the games, and sometimes you're doing them by yourself. I mean, you're leading the team and leading the broadcast and doing the whole thing. I think it's going to help bring more women to our little thing, right? And lots of little steps forward adds up to some big steps forward, I would think. Hope.
I mean, and you can't help but, like, wonder that it's, like, having, like, these, like, women as, like, broadcasters, how much it's, like, growing sports to, like, young girls, like, seeing, like, out there seeing, like, oh, like, there's women calling the game. Like, I want to go play this sport, or I want to go and be, like, take over her job. Like, for me, growing up, like, Amy G was, like, a big influence on me, like, ever since I was, like, younger, when the Giants were going through, like, the dynasty that happened in 2010. Like, I remember always just loving whenever she was on. Like, I would be so excited when they would show her and be like, I want that job.
Really? That's cool. She, when I worked with the Pacifics, so I started with the Pacifics in 2012 and did 3 years of radio, 5 years of television. And Amy G would come out to the games every once in a while. And super nice. But right every time I would think, wow, she has made it to Major League Baseball's upper echelon in broadcasting. That's not, well, for one thing, she's really good. She knows her game.
Yeah.
She's like you. She knows what she's doing. You know, that is not a position that she didn't have to fight for. I'm sure she did. But she was well-equipped. She knows what she's doing. She knows the game. She knows all the little nuances of the game that make her a pleasure to listen to, right? She's there because she has earned it. She's awesome. I know. That's cool to hear that you were so inspired by her. So what would be, you know, the ultimate compliment to all the work that you do to broadcast, which is a lot, by the way. You know, it's not like I don't notice how much you do. But the ultimate compliment would be if someday a little girl came up to you at one of our games and said, I listen to you every week or at all the games. And who knows? And I don't know that a little kid would say, and you've inspired me, but had the same feeling that you had when you heard Amy G when you were little. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be the ultimate. Because every game that you and I do, all the softball games, every single game, parents come up to me and say, hey, we listen to you. We were listening to you on the way here. We listen to you when we can't go to get, you know, whatever. And all of that is really cool. I love all that stuff. But wouldn't it be really cool if a little girl came to you and said, I love listening to you because it's neat to hear a woman call a game?
I feel like that would just be validation for, like, all the work. Because it takes time to, like, study the game and know all the, like, the little nuances that there are involved within all these sports. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it would just be, like, it'd be reassuring to know that it's, like, all the time that I put going into, like, into learning about it, like, wasn't for nothing. That it's, like, I'm inspiring, like, the next generation.
God, that would be the ultimate compliment. Yeah, for a broadcaster.
Yeah.
I think that's a cool goal and an attainable goal to work toward. Hey, this has been really cool. And I've been wanting to be on ESPN for a long time and finally just decided you weren't going to invite me, so I was going to have to invite myself. And it was really fun. And so thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you for inviting yourself and letting me have this nice conversation with you.
Okay, I'll be sure to invite myself again at some point in the future. Okay, DJ Sportscher, I'll see you soon.
Yes. That has been my my interview with the voice, or the face, as I jokingly said, of Panger Radio, Stuart Horn. Thank you. That's all I have planned this week for ESPN. Next week, I'll talk about the typical, what's happened over the past week in the MLB, what's happened over the past week in the NHL, and gearing towards the playoffs, because next week is the final week of the regular season in the NHL, so I will be possibly making my playoff predictions, depending on if the matchups are known. I can at least make my Eastern Conference predictions, the Western Conference ones I may not be able to do, depending on if those last if the four teams who have yet to clinch in the Western Conference clinch. So there's that I will do if that happens. I'll potentially talk about the prospects, because the under 18 tournament begins on Saturday, so that's going on at least during next week. So there's that I will talk about. I love following the draft. I've been keeping up with that for since the 2019 draft class is the 2019 draft. Yes, there were players that I liked in that draft class that kind of helped me follow that draft. I think it's definitely going to be odd this year because I'm older than everyone being drafted, and that is really weird saying. But, yeah. There's that. Third segment will be a mystery. It's maybe potentially prospect talk or playoff predictions for the NHL, but I have my mystery segment back. These past couple weeks, it's been interviews filling that segment, but I'll definitely have my typical MLB and NHL segment. This has been ESPN with DJ Sportster. Thank you for listening to ESPN here on Penguin Radio, the official radio station at Dominican University of California. I'll be here next Tuesday for the final episode of ESPN for this semester.